You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. I am your host, Tracy Ross, joined in the studios now by Kate Lochte and author Dr. Steve Schneiderman. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Now, Steve, you are an author of some very heavy volumes of joyful mystery. You have four books out: Wastelanders, Marshlanders, Lakelanders, and Otherwise Evilicious. The genesis of your writing was?
Well, I read a lot of books. They're different kinds, every possible kind. And everyone who reads books, who enjoys it, thinks that they can write one. So I just gave it a try. That was with Wastelanders. And I plotted through it, and I came to a happy conclusion. I mean, the heroes won, the evil guys were vanquished. And I was real happy I got that published. And then I said, well, wait a minute, I've got another idea. I actually was getting these ideas while I was walking in the old gym every morning. And so then I had another idea. I says, well, I'll try it again. So then that's where Marshlanders came from. And then after that, there was another idea. And then finally I got tired of the Landers. So my fourth idea, I said, I'll change this to a stomachache book. And that's where Otherwise
Stomachache book.
Yeah, that's where Otherwise Evilicious came. The basic plot is stomach aches, but there are so many other things that I embedded in it. In that one, there's another novel that one of the characters is writing, and she asks the hero to be her editor. And then there's another musical comedy called Great Art It Ain't that is full of songs and interesting little things that's part of the lying tradition that they have at this bar they all attend.
Now, interestingly enough, we were talking about the interview on Morning Edition with Mel Brooks this morning, and he called attention to Blazing Saddles as he called it his least politically correct production, and it seemed to strike a chord with you, with Louis Lepetime, your protagonist in the Landers books.
Yes, I like Mel so much, I kind of took off the character of Hedley Lamarr and the governor, who was also, I believe, named Lepetime from Blazing Saddles, and that's where Louis came from.
And is Louis in Otherwise Evilicious as well?
Louis is the protagonist in all the books. He's the cerebral solver of little mysteries. And there's always one great mystery, or maybe two, but there are always a bunch of little mysteries, because Louis's basically a private eye that finds cats, dogs, and lost cars. And so halfway through the major story, he'll divert to finding someone locally if he needs to.
Your great joy seems to come in writing dialogue.
That's true. English is a wonderful language. I can make up my own words as I go along, and I often do. This began, I think, when I was golfing with my brother, and as I watched my golf ball disappear into a pond, he looks at me and said, "Kerplunkitude." And I said, "Yeah." So then I said, "Gee whiz, I can do better than that with a lot of different other words." And so they appear quite often, just to describe actually what's going on.
And the fun thing in choosing Lepetime as the last name for your protagonist is that people can't say that name.
No one can, except for the heroes and the heroines that he deals with all the time. Everyone he meets mispronounces it. And, you know, Lapidoodle, Lupame, whatever. And it's just typical of the little sort of nebbish character he is. He's not tall, he's not broad, he's not dynamic, he's just Louis. So, you know, almost would be unnoticeable in a crowd.
Would you give us a sample of from, I think you were going to do Otherwise Evilicious?
Well, I'll do the first chapter of the romance novelette. Now, I went and bought some cheap novelettes, romance novelettes at the bookstore, and tried to copy their style because I wanted to do something different inside the story, but I couldn't do it, so I'll read the first chapter. This is the novel within the novel. And the name of this novel is called Illusionary. And it goes like this. Pamela Smith, normal handle for an extraordinary lady. Miss Smith is concertmaster of the city orchestra, fiddle player, one of a kind, who strokes it right or left-handed. Not with two fiddles either. Strings are reversed depending upon which way a violin's caressed. Pam can play her Strad either way, which adds up to bowing forward righty and upside down and backwards lefty. No other earthly creature is preferably hand-eye blessed. Challenge Miss Smith in any saloon game, pool, darts, shuffleboard, video, whatever, you'll buy. Pam Smith is demanded for all manner of concerts and musical shenanigans. She commands five figures for 45 minutes, awing festival multitudes, six for TV extravaganzas. Pam shows up at hospital, children wards, the B'nai B'rith walk against bigotry, and plays for the joy. Once at the stadium, retro rockers were trying to entice another generation. Pam and another one-dater paid to go. She wasn't spotlighted or recognized, but the staff knew her well. Let her backstage, lent her a fiddle from storage. Band musicians gasped. Invited on stage, Miss Smith entertained the mass with one-liners. Now you all have to have a sense of humor because I'm going to fiddle energetically and I forgot to wear a bra. Oops. I hope my date would learn that later through Braille. She tuned the fiddle and brought down the house. Art appreciators paid $30 for 8 to 10. They got until 1A at no extra charge. At formal concerts, Miss Smith will sometimes flip back and forth as the symphony, concerto, whatever progresses. Her sound stays pure throughout. Only the players appreciate conductor apoplexy. Naturally, with growing renown, reporters ask why and when does the flipperoo apply with all music? Miss Smith always responds, no clue, whenever the mood hits, turkey in the straw, Franz Liszt makes no difference. The orchestra waltzed through Europe, reeled through the Southeast, even tangoed at Havana as political normalcy hip-checked away 50 years of idiocy. Miss Smith dazzled wherever, whatever troops came, overcame dust storms and camel spiders at semi-secure Middle Eastern bivouacs, unofficial carnage cessation during the three-hour base tour. Art appreciation one-upped religious bigotry and greed. Later, after tours and touts, post-tumultuousness, Pam Smith retreated to a Wilmette condo, Third Street, walked to the Purple Line, solitude, no churning chump, just an indifferent tabby. She strums a banjo or 12-string guitar for cheap thrills. Washington Square haunts the neighbors, perfectly picked, melodic shivering. Pam's flat is one flight up, one of four 250-square-foot apartments. Plenty of room for a roomie. Several looked into the possibility, but they're always run off, overwhelmed by intensive vibration imbalance. Men uncomfortable immediately, girls unwilling to suffer, looming comparison. Diametric glamour and quiescence are debilitating. Magazine covers and high-dollar Adriana Papel mask enervating melancholy. Curious business. Pam Smith, Indian on the floor in her great room, surrounded by posters, concerted elegant glory, heads of state grinning and embracing. She's mimicking Carlos Santana, one maybe two light years clearer, tear streaming until no outward vision applies, notes pure, singular, and distant.
You have a lot of fun.
I do. I have fun doing this. It's relaxing. I can, when I'm writing this stuff, put myself in completely another world. It's I'm not here. I'm with the character. I'm with Louis. I'm with Pam. I'm with whomever I'm writing about at that moment. And during the moments, I'll think of something else and completely divert to another chapter, another issue.
And you do this in the wee hours of the morning.
I start about 2:30 in the morning usually.
Yeah, and you are a practicing academic professor.
Well,
as
I'm a,
well,
I'm a loyal and dedicated state employee. I certainly put in the time they assigned to me.
And you're dedicated to environmental technology and to writing.
That's correct.
And to golf.
There are environmental themes in every book.
Now, tell me as well about the children's book that you have planned.
Oh, there's a children's book. It's copyrighted. I just haven't published it yet. I'm waiting for Ivy to finish the pictures. Come on, Ivy. And it's about the grandchildren of Dina Richards, who owns Rudy's. And the stories are about her grandchildren. They feature her grandchildren in different situations around Murray. They go hunting for raccoons. They plow through the snow whenever it fell. They go to the zoo. There are a lot of stories, and they're just for the, I wrote it just for them. And when it's published, they'll each get a souvenir copy. But the stories are, you know, it could be any kids. It's just I use their names. So I might add, in my books, all of the protagonists are my friends, and most of them have promised not to sue.
We are talking with Dr. Steve Schneiderman, who's associate professor in the College of Science, Engineering, and Technology, who finds great joy in writing.
Absolutely. It's tons of fun. I can't play golf today.
There you go. His books, Wastelanders, Marshlanders, Lakelanders, and Otherwise Evilicious, are available on the shelf in the Murray State University bookstore. Elsewhere in town?
I don't think so, but you could get them online or download them. But I'm particularly proud of the Faculty Wall of Fame because I'm up there with the real writers.
Steve, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Kate. I certainly had a lot of fun.